Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you've been jonesing for the National Football League, today is the day that it gets real for some of the star players and rookies in Denver, Colorado at Dove Valley as the Denver Broncos become today the first team to open officially NFL training camp 2019. Now, the Falcons rookies are going to report tomorrow to Flowery Branch. And, of course, 2 weeks from tomorrow, those two teams will meet on the field. Well, their rookies and backups for the most part will meet on the field at the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. And here we go. Hugh Douglas, it's a little bit of it's a small milestone, but it's nonetheless a milestone. Today is the first camp opening.
Yeah. Football's back. Give some people some things to talk about. I'm pretty sure that the Denver Broncos faithful, they'll be out there as much as they possibly can. Ain't nothing really going on. I think in the day, you basically check in. You check in. You let them know that you're there. You move all your stuff into the dorm room if you're staying in the dorm or the hotel room, the stuff that you need, the essentials. And, you know, you'll probably have, like as a rookie, you'll have probably a meeting tonight, go over the little basic installs about what you're going to do tomorrow, and just run around in shorts. That's about it.
Yeah, we talk about the football here with you, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, 404-741-0929. And, of course, at Twitter, at 929 The Game. If you missed the lengthy interview Dukes and Bell did with Grady Jarrett, we played it earlier in the program. We're not going to play it again. But we have it up on our website at 929thegame.com. If you want to listen to the entire interview, it's very interesting about what he had to say about a number of issues involving his contract and where he thinks he's at and he wants to perform. One of the cuts here is Grady talking. This is from the interview, and again, the full one is on our website, posted up. You can't miss it at 929thegame.com. Grady talking about the new contract and how about nothing has really changed for him now that he's got this new deal.
For me, I don't have to prove that I'm worth this. My proof is in what I do week in and week out. What I'm trying to do is I'm thankful for the deal I got, but there's no more pressure, no more expectation out there that nobody out there can have more than the one I have for myself. And so that's the beautiful thing in it. So it's like I'm just doing what I do, whether the deal got done or not. I'm going to do the same thing that I'm going to do this year that was going to happen.
Well, yeah, he's always proved this ever since, he came up, in the shadow of his daddy. We're talking about, linebacker in the history of the Falcons and his dad, Jesse Tuggle. And then, of course, he might be the greatest defensive tackle in the history of the Atlanta Falcons. And by the time this is all said and done, you make that case. Here was a guy who came out of, Rockdale County and was a two-star guy in terms of stars coming out of high school, had to prove himself at Clemson, goes into the draft, drops to the fifth round of the draft, had to prove himself again, gives this big deal like he's the third highest paid defensive tackle in the game, which he is. And if there's anything anybody thinks he has to prove himself again, Grady's just going to go out there and do it.
He has a great work ethic. There's no question about that. Something motivates him. I know he talked about a bunch of different things that he really don't look at. But listen, man, I've been there. And I know the one thing that probably is one of the biggest motivating factors is the fact that they told him he was too small to do what he's doing. That's a huge motivating factor. I know it was for me, coming from a small school. That was something that drove me every day. For him to be in a position where he remembers vividly that only one team talked to him at the combine. Dude, at the combine, he was talking about how he was only the Cleveland Browns and how they were the only team that really had a discussion with him. That's a motivating factor. Like, that's huge right there. And those are things that, people look at, and you could go one of two ways with this. You could either turtle up and go into a shell and worry about it and brood about it, or you can go out and do something about it. And he's done that. Even to the fact when he talks about how you look around the league and the guys that were drafted before him and what have they done so far in the league. All of that is motivator. All of that is motivator. Going out there knowing that you worked hard to get to where you are. And kids should listen to what he's saying and know that. It's the work. I tell my son this all the time. I go out and work out my son every day because he's trying to play football, but I tell him all the time, dude, it's not about the work that you're doing with me. It's about the work that you're doing on your own. I mean, because this is not my dream. If you want to do this, the only person that's going to motivate you or get you over the hump is you. I said, I come out here, I can run drills with you all day. I can do this, that, and the third. But it's all about that work that you're going to put in when nobody's around that really makes a difference.
Orin just got him. You got it right here. It says, oh, you mean they got to do more?
Yeah, we're going to leave that one alone because it's obvious that I rubbed some Georgia fans the wrong way with that mantra this morning. Did not mean to, you know, make it all about that, which some people felt that I tried to do. So we're going to leave that one alone.
Hey, the camp being here, the Denver Broncos opening up camp, they're going to do so without maybe the most important person in their draft class. Drew Lock, the former Missouri quarterback drafted by Denver with the intent that maybe he could someday become the starter at Denver, has not signed his deal yet. Now, the reason people haven't made a big deal about this is because every first-round pick is signed, and he was a second-round pick. But Drew Lock is saying that he wants more money than the Denver Broncos are offering him. And so at the moment, Drew Lock is not a member of the Denver Broncos. And we'll just keep our eyes on that. And whether we see him, whether he gets a deal done and he gets to he gets to the Hall of Fame game or not, we'll certainly monitor that. But we mentioned that, you know, Denver reports today. The Falcons rookies report tomorrow. And to that, Hugh, take me back to what it's like for a rookie to report. When you reported for your first camp with the Jets, what's it like? You know, you talk about all the, yeah, you got to move into the dorm and stuff, but take me to the kind of like is there a realization, a moment where it all kind of sets into, oh, my God, I'm in the NFL?
I mean, basically, it's like moving into the dorm and college. And for anybody who's went to school, it's basically the same thing. You pack the essentials. I remember my first camp, my very, very first camp, I overpacked. Like, you take, like they say you're going to be in camp for probably roughly like 2 weeks, a week. So you bring an outfit for every day. And then you soon realize that you're probably going to be wearing the same thing every day anyway. So you might take one, maybe two outfits that you're going to wear the whole time that you're in training camp. That's it. Because it's like, it's no need. You're going to go out and you're going to go to practice. You're going to wear your training clothes. They're going to wash those. You're going to take a shower and you're going to put on the same clothes. Who are you trying to impress? That's the biggest thing. You take the essentials. You take a television if you need one, or if wherever you are, you might be in a college dorm where they might be able to provide a TV for you. And then the absolute essential thing that you have to take, and I'm sure that most guys take this when they go to camp nowadays because they're a little older, you got to take your Xbox. Got to take your Xbox. Got to take the Madden if you got it. If you got that plug, got to have the new Madden. Got to have that. And you try to play that as much as you can. But it's basically going back to your college days.
Do you play I'm curious. Do players play Madden to play it, or do they play Madden to learn about other players they're going to face?
No, John, they play it just to play. They play it because it's super competitive and they talk trash. I didn't play. When I was in camp, like with the Eagles, because back then we didn't take like video games. My first in 95, we didn't take them then. But when I went to camp with the Eagles in 98, or was it 99? Whatever year Halo came out. When Halo came out, we played Halo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we had it set up where you could play on different TVs, but they were all linked and you could actually play against each other.
Gotcha.
We did that. We did that a lot. We played a lot of Halo. We played as much as we possibly could within the time that was allotted when you got out of team meetings and things of that nature. But training camp, to me, does two things. You know, it keeps everybody in the same space and it helps build that camaraderie. Because, you know, the truism about football is this. Everything that you've done from probably high school to college to the pros, it's all about a cohesive unit. And that's kind of what living in the dorm does. You know, you're hanging out with one another, you're going to meetings, you're being around the guys all the time. That's why you hear a lot of people say, going into training camp and the thing that you miss about football is the camaraderie that goes along with the game. I mean, that is true. That's the one thing, that the biggest thing that you always miss about football is the fact that you're with the guys all the time. You're in the tight end group, you're with the offensive group all the time. Those are the things that you truly miss.
It is camp time for the NFL with the Denver Broncos reporting today, and that's what we're talking about with the Falcons rookies reporting tomorrow. The veterans will report on Sunday, and Falcons camp officially opens for everybody next Monday, and we are going to be there live beginning Monday for the 8 sessions in Flowery Branch. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Hugh and I, Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell. And we want to let you know that it's all open to the public. It's free to park and free to come. And if you've never been to Falcons Camp, we encourage you, highly encourage you to take part if you have a chance to do so, because it's so well done. It's really a lot of fun. If you're a big Falcons fan, you really need to, you got to kind of check this off your box. I mean, I'm not just talking about, you know, you're going to practice. Bring the kids. There's lots of games. There's dollar hamburgers. There's dollar hot dogs, dollar sodas, and they cook them all on the big grill right there. There's a huge tent full of all the very latest new gear that they're selling for the Falcons. And it's, you know, we got our big set out there. It's really kind of a neat event. It's not just a bunch
it's
of guys
hot.
Sitting around.
Bring a towel.
And bring a towel. It is hot.
That whiteout towel that you can use to go to Atlanta United tonight, wash that and bring it next week because you're going to need that.
And if you want to sit under the big permanent umbrellas at the top of the hill, you got to get there early, okay?
Yeah, it probably ain't going to help too much. It's going to be warm.
Because gates will open at 8:30 Monday, all right? And practice starts at 9:30, just saying. We're talking about camp here. There has to be for these rookies that will show up tomorrow for the Falcons, the ones that are showing up for the Broncos, Hugh. I want to go back to this. You know, rookie minicamp is one thing. Mandatory minicamp is another. Training camp seems another big step. Where is there, you know, a sense that, you know, you're just going to – and everybody's going to take it differently, obviously, and you only have your experience. But is there a sense that you're going to work, or does it settle in that you're really – the NFL season is here, or this has really started and here we go?
I think the biggest thing that I remember from training camp was this, that I'm on NFL roster. I'm playing for the Jets. That Jets on the side of my helmet, that's the NFL team. It's for me, going into camp, it wasn't that bad. The biggest star on the team that I played on at the time that I was there with the Jets was Boomer Esiason. And he really, like, no disrespect to Boomer, to me, he really wasn't that big because he's a quarterback. And he was a little bit of, you know, he was a Richard. He was a typical quarterback. You know, he's a good dude, but he had that Richard quality about him where, you know, you kind of stayed away from them. You know, he would say his little snippy stuff at the quarterback spot, but mostly when I got to the Jets, it was like a bunch of guys. Like, they had Marvin Washington was there, Marvin Jones, Shadetree, but he was coming off an injury, and my man Mo Lewis. So I had a good group. Like Mo was a good dude. Mo Lewis was a really, really good dude. Who else was there? It was a couple other. Who else was there? Aaron Glenn would probably be considered a star at that time. He was pretty good corner out of A&M. I think it was A&M he went to, at Texas A&M. So, yeah, he was a pretty good player. But when I got there, it was not like coming to the Atlanta Falcons and playing with a Matt Ryan or Julio Jones or Devontae Freeman. It wasn't a whole lot of Pro Bowl players. So I would think that these young cats coming in to this team and seeing that, that's probably an eye opener. They walk in the locker room, it's like, damn, Julio Jones is a big ass dude. Like, you know, seeing that and like, damn, Julio Jones is a Hall of Famer. Or, damn, Matt Ryan, these cats were just in the Super Bowl a couple years ago and I'm here. Like, that's something different. I was coming off a team that was like, what, the Jets? The biggest debacle that they had was the fake spike play that Dan Marino had to score a touchdown and win the game. That's what I remember. And that's what everybody talked about. And you know, the lack of the pass rush and the lack of, you know, position players that they had on the team. So it has to be totally different coming here, knowing the Pro Bowlers that you have on the squad, young Pro Bowlers, and knowing what's expected of this team. That's a different kind of pressure.
Well, there's a question for you from one of the callers who want to come in the air. They wanted to know, when does all the attendant things that you're talking about, you know, seeing the players, getting your gear, settling in, when does it become about just you lose all that and it just becomes about football? First time you get
hit
in the mouth?
It's always about football. And you don't get hit in the mouth like you used to because they don't have practices like that or the practices that we see. But as a rookie, there's always going to be like, Until you actually get into the season, even in the season some. I mean, it's always about football, but you're going to have those moments where it's going to be like, damn, that's so-and-so. Like, that is so-and-so. I remember playing Buffalo Bills for the first time, walking up on Bruce Smith. Hey, Bruce, as a Jet, hey, Bruce, one of your biggest fans. Bruce kind of looked at me and was like, man, you don't get the hell out of my face. like for real. I mean, but that's the reality. Man, if you don't get the hell out of my face, like my rookie year, because I remember rolling up on him and like, wow. You know, starstruck. Bryce Pop, Biscuit. Kenneth Bennett, cats like that. These were the stars that were on the team. Dan Marino, Richmond Webb. Like, going up against Richmond Webb, getting my back beat in the first game played, and played against Richmond Webb, didn't sniff the quarterback, got nowhere near the quarterback. Because I was too busy, like, wow, that's Dan Marino. Like, it's just weird.
Hey, we invite you to join us next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you can kind of clear your schedule to join us at training camp, at Falcons training camp at Flowery Branch, AT&T Falcons training camp. We're going to be broadcasting live starting on Monday, exclusively on your home of the Falcons on Sports Radio 90.10. The game in a moment, Joe Patrick, Braves reporter, on the very latest where the Braves stand going into their final game in Milwaukee as they get set to return home to face the Washington Nationals. That's after a CBS Sports Minute.
Two balls, two strikes. High fly ball belted. It's a grand slam into the Atlanta bullpen. Second career grand slam for Christian Yelich. 72 RBIs. He scores his third run, and that's home run number 33.
You know, I love Oren, but he didn't listen to me when I said earlier in the program when we started the show with this, don't play that no more. Don't want to hear that. I want to just, this game, whatever happened yesterday, gone. All right, it's out of my memory bag, just gone. But I don't blame him because, again, Christian Yelich is a hell of a player. 33 home runs this season already for that dude.
Yeah, he's a beast, man. But I guess I watch baseball a little bit different. You know, I look at the bigger picture. And so far on this road trip, not bad for the Atlanta Braves. It's just unfortunate that last night they ran into a pitching matchup that did not favor them in no way, shape, or form.
Yeah, on both ends of it against Brandon Woodruff, who's the ace of the Milwaukee staff. Joe Patrick covers the Braves for us and is joining us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline. And, Joe, we won't even talk – let's not even talk about yesterday. Just throw his own one off. You know?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, I feel like I got, you know, the Will Smith red light last night. You know, after that game, I just forgot about it, went to sleep.
Yep, that's exactly what I think. And now you focus on Dallas Keuchel today at 2 o'clock, and we were talking about, you know, they win this game today. That road trip to start the second half, San Diego-Milwaukee would be 5-1. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I think there were some concerns about how this team would rebound after the All-Star break, especially when you look at, you know, two teams.
I think his phone just kind of went bye-bye.
Joe, we got a bad connect, dog. We need to call Joe back.
All right, see if we can try him again here. Let's see if your phone goes up there. Hey, Joe?
You guys hear me?
No, man.
Not really.
Not really. You may need to get into a better spot yourselves in a weak spot here. Braves and Brewers, 2 o'clock today with Dallas Keuchel on the mound. And then, of course, they come home against the Washington Nationals. Now, Washington won last night to creep back to within 6.5 games of the Braves. And Washington's got to be looking at this series. You know, the Braves have to focus in on the Brewers. Washington's playing Baltimore. They can almost, like, kind of move on. But you got to believe, Hugh, that at this point, this series is gigantic for the Washington Nationals. This is where they make their push.
Yeah, they're going to try. They're definitely going to try, John. And that's why I said it's funny how, you know, we were all talking about the Phillies and what they could potentially do. The Nationals were slowly trying to creep back into this thing. Now, they still got a little ways to go. They were like 8 games behind us. But still a lot of baseball left to be played. So there's a possibility that this might come down to the wire, which I think it will.
Yeah, it may. And this is where the Washington Nationals figure that they got to come into Atlanta and take 3 out of 4. I mean, splitting doesn't do a whole lot for them at this point. So they're going to be really locked in. Now, the good news, bad news of that series we'll get into tomorrow when the Nationals get ready for the first of a 4-game set at SunTrust Park. But first things first again, you got to face the Brewers tonight. Here goes Dallas Keuchel again. And we are hoping and expecting that Dallas Keuchel might be able to put on another masterful performance. All right, let's try Joe one more time here. Joe, how's that phone now?
Sorry about that, guys. Got a new cell phone yesterday and obviously still having some issues, but I think we should be good now.
Hey, man, you better go. Hey, listen, you need to upgrade a little bit. You're working with us now and working, you know, doing the Braves game. Update from that star tech, man. Yeah, that star tech.
I know.
Yeah, the Go phone at the Walmart, probably not the good way to go. No, I'm just kidding, Joe. So, yeah, this team right now, they're playing such good baseball. You know, yesterday they got handcuffed, but again, let's forget yesterday. On this road trip to come out of the gate the way they have, putting so much pressure on the other teams in the division, so much so that there was an article written yesterday that Andy McPhail, the Philadelphia Phillies, is basically saying, we're not really going to be so much players before the end of the month because, you know, they're kind of raising the white flag in Philadelphia at this point. And so that'll be interesting to see. I'm curious, you know, we could talk about Milwaukee, but I want to jump ahead here. We have 2 weeks until the trade deadline. Do you think the Braves, is there a sense the Braves will make a move, or will they just kind of stand pat considering how well they've done with what they have and kind of dance with what brung them?
I mean, I'd be shocked if they don't make a move at this point. I went on Dukes and Bell last week, and I think I put it at like 95% chance that I think they'll make a move, just because I think that it's just a general best practice, right, for any team that's contending at this point to go out and try to bolster your team in any way possible. If you feel like you need a bullpen arm, then go out and get a bullpen arm. And I feel like, you know, in the bullpen, that's an area where lots of teams can go out and kind of reinforce themselves for relatively cheap. You know, if you're not, especially if the team isn't going out trying to get some amazing closer, those arms probably aren't going to be super expensive around the trade deadline. So, I think that there's a great chance that the Braves go out and make a trade. I think that the issue is, especially in the National League, you have so many teams that are contending right now. You know, almost every team in the National League outside of the Marlins and maybe the Mets have a legitimate shot at a wild card spot. So I would say that the amount of teams that are selling right now is maybe a little less than we would typically see, but I still think that there's no reason that the Braves shouldn't go out and try to explore every opportunity to make a deal.
Yeah, with that being said, though, Joe, aren't you a little bit concerned about, you know, the asking price of said pitchers and the fact that we're hearing a lot now about, you know, package deals as far as pitchers are concerned? Like, if you take one guy, if you want one guy, you got to take somebody else. And the fact that, you know, the Braves are in a pretty good spot and you have other National League teams that are contending, that they're going to try to fleece the team and get as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, you know, I am concerned, at least in the starting pitching market. It seems like teams are really, the teams that have starting pitchers, obviously we've heard of from the Giants, and kind of they want a king's ransom for a guy like Madison Bumgarner. And that is one of the ones that concerns me. You know, we've talked about, there's been so much talk about the prospects that the Braves have in the system and kind of who you'd be willing to let go of, who you want to keep at all costs. And I think that, you know, I have my opinions on one or two or three players that are like that, and I'm sure you guys do as well. But I think it comes at the end of the day, you have to kind of look at the situation that the Braves are in, and you have so many arms, you have so many talented arms in the minor league system, it becomes a numbers game, right? Like, there's just not enough room for all of these guys to be up at the major league level. So I think it makes total sense to try to spin some of those minor league talented arms into arms that can help you at the major league level right now. Now, of course, there's always going to be debates over whether it's, you know, if you're overpaying or whatnot. And I don't think that anyone will ever have the answer to that until we're years down the line. But, you know, that's the business that the Braves are in, and that's a chance that they have to be willing to take at times. And, you know, I don't think, obviously, they expected this kind of championship window to be open this early, but, you know, the opportunity has presented itself this season, and this team has proven that, you know, it's one of the best teams in baseball. And when you have one of the best teams in baseball, you have to seize that moment and take advantage.
Yeah, you have to seize the moment. I totally agree. But the price of poker could go way up. Joe Patrick covers the Braves for us, joins us on the WayForward.com hotline, talking Braves and Brewers with Dallas Keuchel on the mound today. And, of course, the Nationals coming in tomorrow. Jim Bowden in The Athletic, former GM, been on the program a number of times, is saying there's a brand new thing, this trading deadline that's happening that he's never seen before. And that happens after there was some discussion about Toronto wanting to part with Marcus Stroman and their reliever Ken Giles and maybe packaging them together. Other teams apparently are following suit, Joe, and they're starting to say, hey, we're willing to trade our guys, but as a package. The Giants are talking about trading Bumgarner and Will Smith as a package. It's possible the Indians could put together a package that could get, I mean, if they put Trevor Bauer with Brad Hand, they're going to get a king's ransom. And so it's suddenly a two-guy package, a starter and a reliever. You get both, but boy, you got to pay through the nose.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, kind of fascinating gambit by these teams to try to do this, because I think what they're trying to do is just trying to create some market inefficiency by kind of packaging these trades in a way that, like Bowden said, hadn't the game hasn't really seen so much, especially recently. So I think that, you know, you're almost trying to mask the total value. You're trying to kind of create a new value by combining the two players together. And, you know, it just so happens that a lot of teams are looking for both starting pitching and bullpen help. So, you know, it's an interest. I can't blame the teams that want to package both these guys together, and I think that it kind of does create a little bit of more mystery around what it's going to take to get these guys, because like you just said, we don't really know. We don't have a ton of data points to kind of look at these situations and evaluate what's fair and what's not.
If that happens, we're going to have two or three blockbusters on our hand. That's for sure. Joe, as always, appreciate your insight here. We get ready for the Braves and Brewers today. Thanks much for taking a few minutes, and hopefully next time we can clear up that phone all the way through.
Sounds good. I'll be at the AT&T store today.
Yeah, there you go. As Joe Patrick, who covers the Braves for us, again, Braves and Brewers today, getting ready. Hey, I wanted to mention this before we get to the break, because we're going to have Devon Gales joining us, because he has something really cool happened to him last week coming up. But because the buzz today around here is this, you know, this hot, you were talking about it in Hughes World, this hot face app. Okay.
It's called, the Face App.
Right, the Face App. An attorney has come out and said now, and her name is Elizabeth Weinstein, and she's a big attorney, and she's posted all this stuff, and she said, you need to read the terms of use of the Face App, because this is what she says. If you use Face App, you are giving Face App license to use your photos, your name, your username, your likeness for any purpose that they deem, including commercial purposes on billboards or internet.
That's if you use the Face App.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know.
Okay. Did you use it?
No.
Did you use it? Okay.
No. But that gives me a little bit of pause.
Yeah, but somebody already used your image, so you're already on that. You along with the rest of us, John Freaky. You're right there with us.
Yeah, I know. I'm just letting you know. I mean,
thank you. Thank you very much.
So if you're suddenly I'm just saying, if you're driving down the road and you see one of those electronic billboards, and all of a sudden it says Face App, and there you are.
But it's not like the government isn't watching us everything that we do anyway, by listening to our phones and all the other good stuff. So, I mean, it's like, you know, Big Brother, it's just another way Big Brother watches. I got you, though. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I just don't expect any money.
I've been expecting any money any time soon. Hey, I've been expecting money all this time, John Freaking. But thank you. Thank you for that nugget and for throwing a dirty dish rag and a damper on all of our fun for the day. Thank you very much, John Freaking.
I'm not trying to do that. I'm just I'm just trying to be transparent and let everybody know.
I know.
Atlanta United supporters, Dukes of Bell, going to be broadcasting live 2 to 6:30 today in the Gulch before Atlanta United in Houston. So if you're going to the game to the Whiteout, you can join Dukes of Bell 2 to 6:30 ahead of Atlanta United in Houston. They'll be down in the Gulch broadcasting at the 9-9 in the game official tailgate in the Gulch today. Andy and Randy, top of the hour on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Morning show, Sports Radio 99 The Game. He can't hear because he didn't have his headphones in yet. We hooked up a little Southern marching band here. I don't know if you can hear that yet, Devon. I'd have to play it a little bit louder. Devon Gales in studio. He's got kind of a neat thing that's happened to him this week, in the past week, at his mom, Tish. As we get ready for college football. And Devon, welcome back. It's great to have you back in studio again.
Thanks for having me.
So what's going on with you, man? How you been?
I've been good, man. Just moved in a new house. I just been grinding, man. Just been working out. I'm trying to look like you.
I see your face get a little bit fuller. You've been working out, been pushing that weight a little bit.
I've been eating noodles.
Devon Gales joining us here. Yeah, I saw the story. A really cool deal. You know, Dog Nation and the folks, and shout out to George and everybody that stepped up. You know, they promised you and your family that you would get a new home, and last week they delivered. What was it like for you to walk into that new house, Devon?
I was amazed. Like when I rolled in, all I could say was wow. It wasn't too many words I can, you know, say. The house was just beautiful, and I would just go and see everything, and just all I could say was wow.
So far, what's your favorite room in the house so far?
The gym, baby. My whole room. I would say. The shower is way big, so I'm able to roll in, roll out. Mm-hmm. Everything is accessible for me now, so it's really been a really big help for me.
Devon Gales, 4 years ago, injured in a game for Southern University against Georgia, and does it seem like it's been 4 years now for you? I mean, it's been a long time, but, I mean, man.
It feel like it's been a while. Coming up on the 4 years, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. And as you progress here, and you know, and continue to impress people with your ability and your, you know, your stick-to-itiveness and your desire to walk again. I mean, have you hit milestones and step back, but keep pushing through? How's it been going for you, Devon?
Like you said, I've been hitting milestones. 2 months ago, I went to have some surgery, tendon transfer, and I had to have casts on and for a month, and then I had to have braces for the next month. So you can look and see all the cuts I'm on. I have like 6 cuts on each side, and it's kind of like I was on bed rest,
mm-hmm.
and basically wasn't able to do anything for myself. So now that I'm in a new house, I have the cast and the braces off. I just been trying to do everything for myself.
So basically, it's to help you get stronger, like to help the your arms and stuff get stronger.
Yes, made my triceps a lot stronger and my pinch a lot stronger, so I'm able to grab a lot better than what it was before.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen, you know, in the times that we've seen you from over the last 4 years, I've seen you. Would you agree? I mean, quite a bit of progress.
Yeah, a lot of progress. Because I mean, from day one when we came there and I saw you working, I just knew there was no quit in you, and I can see that now. And I also see that you got some new ink.
Not yet.
Oh, that's not new. I didn't see that before.
Uh-uh.
Yo, okay.
See, I covered up.
Oh yeah, that's right. You covered up. So now you got the gun. You got the gun show going now. So you try to show them off a little bit.
Yeah, I just got a gym, man. I got to show a little something.
So update the fans on your progress. Where do you think you are, you know, along the line? Because I know that one time we talked to you about your car, right?
Yes. I want to take a class at the Shepherd Center to be able to start driving and being able to get around. That's another one of my goals that I have set for myself. Yeah. that's just one of my goals. Just been trying to do everything for myself since I have my braces and cast off. I'm just being independent as I can.
So, I mean, overall, I mean, because you're always upbeat. You're always upbeat here. So how has that been for you? It's been pretty steady on that side of it?
Yes, sir. I go every morning and every night listening to, you know, some good music. You know, that old stuff, something, you know.
Okay, so what you talking about? What you listening to?
He don't know nothing about that Casey and JoJo. You know,
oh, come on,
look,
man.
Look, you don't know nothing about that. Look, we're rocking that MJG,
A-ball MJG
early this morning.
You know, I went to a concert. As a matter of fact, shout out to my man, KD Bo, because KD Bo got me tickets to go to a concert. I got to see them in concert for the first time ever, man.
Oh,
and it
man.
Was awesome. Definitely a big A-Ball MJG fan.
I was rocking it out, man.
Devon Gales, who continues to be an inspiration to a lot of us, joining us in studio. He and his family just moved into a new house at, what was it, last Thursday or Friday. His mom, Tish, is also here. Tish, can I ask you just to grab the mic just for a second? You know, this has been such a long road for you, too, as well. What was it like for you that moment that you stepped in and they handed you the keys?
Pretty much the same thing as Devon said. I was in awe because there were no words to actually describe the feeling that I had at that moment, besides the fact that we were beyond blessed to, you know, to have the opportunity to go from where we came from to where we are now, and to have it being done and created with so much love and volunteering and the community coming together as a whole to, you know, present this to us, it was just an awesome feeling.
Speaking of community, because I know by now the neighbors know who you are, they knew you were coming to town. How has that transition been? I mean, how is it, you know, moving into the neighborhood, the neighbors know you're there? I mean, how has that been? Have they been really cool, or, you know, it's been a little different?
Oh, yes. I think they know our vehicles by now. So when, because we're all the way in the back of the subdivision. And when we come all the way through, everybody's just raising their hands.
Is
up,
that
just
right?
Waving, yeah. Just waving away.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Shouts out to traditions.
Well, you're up there in Jackson County, Devon. I mean, you're that much closer to Athens. I imagine a few football games are going to be on the agenda this fall. Is that what you're thinking?
Oh, yes, sir. It's a lot closer than before.
LSU Notre Dame? I mean, excuse me. Georgia Notre Dame.
Yes, I got to go to that.
See, because I saw the LSU, UGA, SU shirt, so that's why I got stuck. But, yeah.
Yeah, I like the little shirt, though. That's cool.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
Could you do me a favor and pull the mic closer to you?
There you go.
I'm just kind of curious. One thing, Devon Gale's joining us in the studio. He moved into his new house last week. Yeah, inspiration to a lot of people after his injury 4 years ago and now how he's fought through. And you go to the Shepherd Center, and we saw you fairly early on in your rehab at the Shepherd Center. Do you find now that you're meeting new people who are coming into the Shepherd Center, and you're able to impart to them, Devon, a little bit about, you know, what they're facing and how they can handle it? Can you start to become a mentor to other people?
I think I can, for everything I've been through and for the upcoming people that, you know, that just had the injury. I can, you know, get my feet on what I've been through and how I came through it. So, yeah, I think it's been really helpful for the others that I came across.
Well, we certainly love having you. I know you're going to be going to rehab today, and I'm thrilled you could just take a few minutes to drop by and say hi.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
And you are always welcome, Tish. You are always welcome, and congratulations on the new home. And we will continue to tell Devon's
story.
When's
the barbecue, man?
Yeah.
When's the barbecue?
When you coming to the house?
whenever the barbecue's happening.
Come on.
August 10th.
Yeah, August 10th.
August 10th?
Okay.
August 10th. Okay, all right. There you go. A big barbecue to celebrate the new house of Devon Gales and his mom, Tish. Thanks very much, guys. Do appreciate it. Eddie Reddy coming up top of the hour on a very busy Wednesday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.